Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
Kay, how you been doing?
Not bad. Things are a bit chaotic, but it's all good.
I tell you what, with the weather that's going on outside, I'm glad I'm inside.
Amen to that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got another exciting guest to bring to you today. I'm looking forward to the interview. So without any further delay, let's welcome Carol Moody. Welcome, Carol, to Meet the People of MCB.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. And I'm glad to be inside as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Carol, what we'd like to first of all do is have you talk to us a little bit about your vision loss. What was the cause? And just go ahead and share with us about anything you want to share with us about your vision loss.
Okay. Well, it's kind of a mixed up mess, really, but I'm sure some other people have, you know, have mixed up messes as well. I was born with cataracts and nystagmus. And when I was born, I just had light perception. And when I was 18 months old, they did my initial cataract surgery on my right eye, which turned out to be my better eye. Although they almost lost the eye at the time, and they did what they call, well, on both eyes, they did what they call a bilateral iridectomy, where, you know, they wanted to try to prevent glaucoma. So they removed part of the iris of the eye and permanently dilate the pupil, which also makes you extremely light sensitive all of your life. But it did at least delay glaucoma. So after a couple more surgeries, when I was very young, then I could see color. And I was always just really drawn to color and loved colors. And I did a lot of coloring, and in fact, still do. I do some adult coloring types of things. But when little children were talking about red and green and blue, I was talking about chartreuse and magenta and turquoise. But I could read large print in school, and I was trying out for cheerleading in high school, and all of a sudden, it was determined then that I had a retina condition. It was a retinal condition where my retina could detach, so they made me stop, and I did have a surgery at the time, but anyway, it was very disappointing to me because I had to be much less physically active than I had been in the past. But my vision stayed stable for quite a number of years. I had less than 2% vision in my bad eye. And at one point, the best time in my life, I was just a little worse than 20 over 200. So I was just barely into the legally blind range. Mm-hmm. But then vision did deteriorate further. In 95, I did have a complete retinal detachment. And the other eye was getting ready to have a retinal detachment as well. So I had a major 4.5-hour surgery and an extremely rough recovery because they had put corneal abrasion, you know, big corneal scratches on both eyes too. So now I have this erosion, corneal erosion of the syndrome of, you know, as well. And so after that surgery, then of course the glaucoma kicked in and went crazy. So I'm on a lot of medicine. I'm on maximum medical therapy. I'm in numerous eye drops and ointments, and you know, they're watching the retinas closely. And now I'm down to less than 2% vision, but I still am thankful for the vision I have, and I use what I have to the fullest extent. And I think you know, I've learned to use all of my senses to the best of my ability, although I do have some hearing loss as well. But my mother was totally blind and my father had low vision, and they didn't know how well I was going to see when I was young because of just having light perception when I was born. So from an early age, they taught me to use my other senses more as well.
Yeah. So your eye condition is hereditary?
Basically they say the retinal condition is, it's lattice degeneration of the retina, and the nystagmus and cataracts. My father had that also, but then the glaucoma, of course, is secondary and the cornea is secondary.
Right. Yeah. So you're considered low vision?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm legally blind, but low
right.
vision.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, and then, so did you go to public school or did you go to school for the blind?
Well, I did some of both. I started out at the school for the blind, and then in fifth and sixth grade, I went to a public school, but that was a very underwhelming experience, and I got really depressed. Things were not made accessible, and kids were really, really mean, real bullyish. And so my parents decided to send me back to MSB. And then later on in high school, I wanted to try again, and my father was terrified for me to try again, but I was most insistent. So I did go then later to a public high school, the Southwest High School, and it was really the catalyst that I needed to really shine. I had, you know, straight honors, which was above A's. They had H's there.
Right.
And I did a lot of different things. I was in... I was a peer counselor, one of 12 peer counselors for the school. And I was in, you know, several different other recreational activities. And anyway, I was really glad that I went because I think it did help prepare me more for college.
Oh, yeah, sure. So while your time there at the Missouri School for the Blind, who were some of your classmates that are now members of MCB?
Oh, my. Well, I'd have to give that some thought because the class okay. is pretty small, you know. Unfortunately,
yeah.
some people aren't even with us anymore.
Right. Yeah.
The older we get, the more that happens, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. That's
right. For sure.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, so let me also ask you then, Carol, do you have brothers, sisters? Share with us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have one brother. He's 6.5 years younger than me. And he's a chef by trade and a food service manager. Actually, he's a food service manager for a major company out of New Jersey now, but he's, you know, working locally. And because of COVID, they've limited the travel. So he's staying here more. And okay. he makes some beautiful food. I don't know if any of you've ever heard about him, but he does some really, really good things.
Okay. And he's And he's the only sibling that you have?
Yes, he's my only sibling. My okay. parents said they wanted to replace themselves, and that's what they did.
Yep. Okay. And you're married to Patrick?
Yes, we have 30, as this past September, we have 30 years.
All right. And how did you and Patrick meet?
Well, we actually met in college. And, I actually went up there the year before to Mizzou before I started college. Anna Shell and I were good friends, and I would go up on some weekends to visit her, and that's how we met.
Okay, so you attended MU in Columbia?
Yes, I did.
Okay, very good. And what was your major?
Social work.
Okay, all right. All right, so I'm going to turn it over to Kay.
Alrighty. So you went to college and majored in social work. Did you then go to work as a social worker, or did you do like a lot of people do and major in something and then discover you were interested in something else?
Well, what happened, Kay, is that I graduated during Reaganomics, and okay. it made it extremely difficult for people to get work in social work. And so actually my first job was as the receptionist at Service Club for the Blind. And then I went on to do some substitute teaching and then teacher's aide at MSB. And then after that, I became the case manager for the blind and visually impaired at Goodwill, Missouri Goodwill Industries. So that really was social work in a fairly traditional sense, but I managed programs for people with blindness. And from there, I came to RSB as a rehab teacher, which really was kind of my niche, because when I was in college, I had really kind of debated between home economics and social work. And I really feel like being an RT was kind of both rolled into one.
Yeah, and I could see that.
And I was at RSB from 1990 to 2004, and found it stressful but very rewarding. And unfortunately, at that time, my health got to be such that I could no longer work, and I had to go out on long-term disability.
Okay, all right. Well, that's quite a work history, and nice and varied. So I'm sure it kept you interested.
And I did a lot of volunteer things too, like, you know, summer camp counselor and, you know, just different things in between.
Sure. Sure. Well, so since you went to the Missouri School for the Blind, I guess that I'm sure was part of the catalyst, but how did you get involved with MCB?
Well, you know, I guess things all kind of blend together. My parents were involved from early on. In fact, they were involved with the council before it was the council, you know, back when it was still the Federation. And they went to some conventions and things. And then when I was young, my father was involved with Wright for many years. And then from 70 through 75, we went to Cobblestone way back then. But then I joined UWB. And I'm trying to think what year that might have been. It seems like maybe it was 82. And I was in UWB for 27 years. But at some point, I don't remember at what point, UWB became part of Missouri Council. So I guess that's initially how I got involved with it.
So,
and then later we belonged to Wright, ATI, and so on and so forth.
That's kind of interesting. So at one point, I guess I missed a page in history or whatever, that UWB wasn't actually involved with the council, but
no, it wasn't. Neat. It was independent for many years.
And I seem to remember that now that you bring that up. So that's very fascinating. So anyway, so you became involved with UWB. Did you serve as in any office, you know, official capacity with UWB, or?
I was their corresponding secretary for a while, although I never considered that to be my real forte. And back then we had a refreshment committee, and I was on the refreshment committee, you know, some different things like that. But in terms of actually as an officer, the secretary was the only thing.
Okay. Doesn't matter. I mean, you know, you probably volunteered behind the scenes and got involved with things, and being involved with refreshments, that's a great idea.
Well, my mom and I were always concerned about the diabetics. You know, they always wanted to have all this sweet stuff. And we're like, you know, we want to be considerate of other people's needs. And they said, well, then if you want to do that, you can make it yourself. So we did. Or get it yourself.
There you go. Oh, that's great. So that's your involvement with UWB. Are you now a member at large, or what?
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, we may look into more again later, but you know, right now we're just kind of treading water.
I understand that. Believe me, life can be very busy, and especially then you had COVID coming up and all the rest of that stuff. So, yep. Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, but you did say, Carol, that you're a member of ATI, so...
Yeah,
that's true,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I want to go back, Carol. So what kind of work does Patrick do?
Patrick is a middle manager for a family support division.
Okay. And with your time with RSB, was that out of the North District Office?
No, South Office.
Okay.
I had a 6-county territory. I had South and West St. Louis. City and county, and I had Franklin, Crawford, Jefferson, and Washington County. So the territories are quite large.
Yeah. Okay.
As you probably know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You bet. So, Carol, in all your time as a member of MCB, And as you reflect back over the years, things have certainly changed from the time that you first became a member to where we're at today, and for various reasons. And I know there's been things, I know you, Patrick, have you know, you guys have attended summer camp a number of different times. But so share with us, is there any one of our services or programs that we offer that really stands out in your mind that you and Patrick have really thoroughly enjoyed?
Well, I guess you've said it already. It would probably be summer camp. Fortunately, my health doesn't allow for us to do that right now, but we did have many years of benefit and enjoyment of going to summer camp. We went from, I came back in 92 and then Patrick in 93. And I think our last year was 2012, but, you know, so we went to quite a few years of camp and did enjoy it very much.
Yeah. And you've attended quite a few of our state conventions as well.
Oh, yes. In fact, way back even when I worked at Goodwill back in the 80s, I would bring a Goodwill booth and set it up at the convention, things like that. So way back then, going to places like Cape and Sykeston. And yeah, I went to quite a few of the conventions over the years. Mm-hmm.
And also during your time as a member of MC, you and Patrick, especially those early years when you joined back in the 80s, was there anything that MCB did that is no longer doing that you guys would like to see maybe brought back?
Well, we live in such different times now, you know, that makes a difference. But I mean, I can remember even back when they had the Wright Building up on Jefferson. You probably mm-hmm. know of mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of big events there. You know, speakers mm-hmm. and banquets mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Various things. And, it, you know, and now we live in a time where people aren't as social in person. But I think that somehow if things change in society somewhat, and I don't know if or when that's going to exactly happen. But and to have a larger venue, because, I mean, the MCB building, it's great that we have it, but it is kind of a small space for getting people in for events and things that mm-hmm. I guess that's the part that I would miss the most. And, you know, there were people that were more involved in legislation things, it seems like back then, like Laura Welly and, you know, just some of the people.
So also then during your time as a member of MCB, I'm sure you've made a lot of great friends. Is any individuals that you'd like to share that you really got to know and love? And I'm sure there's a lot of them, but maybe some that really stick out in your mind that you've really gotten to know and love and consider a good and dear friend.
Well, I guess in more recent, I mean, I've known some people over the years, but I guess in more recent years, the person that would come to my mind is Jesuita. She is passionate. She's a hard worker, and, she always calls and asks me questions about things. And I have a lot of respect for her and what she has done mm-hmm. for the council and for the service club. I'm on the service club for the blind board now. So I've had mm-hmm. more chance to work with her in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So she would be the one person that would stand out for me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, interesting. I didn't know that you were on the board with the service club. So that's kind of nice to know.
Yeah, a little, I guess about a year and a half or so now. It's hard to keep track. Everything just keeps running together. But yeah, I am. And mm-hmm. in fact, I had a meeting last Saturday. You know, each of the board members were going to conduct a meeting. And I did. And I had a certified exercise instructor from ACB come as my guest speaker. And it went really well.
Yeah. Okay. Kay, you got some questions?
Well, I could ask you my usual question that I ask everybody, and that is, what is there about Carol Moody, maybe your close friends know, but what is there about you that people might find interesting that most people don't know? Is there anything?
Okay, well, let's see. I'll throw one out.
Surprising.
Okay. Back in college, I went on these work study ski trips and I became a pretty good intermediate blue slope downhill skier. And to see me today on a walker, you would never know it, but I have pictures to prove. So yes, at one time I was a very good downhill skier, and also went with USABA in the middle 80s to do some skiing. And I took one black diamond, which is an expert slope, and sheer terror kept me on my feet all the way down. But when I got to the bottom, I said, never again. It was just straight down and moguls all the way that I couldn't see. So I just had to ride right over them and pray to God that I could stay on my feet till I got to the bottom. But the intermediate slopes were definitely for me. And yeah. I love the mountains. That's probably something not too many people know.
That's neat. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Mm-hmm. I've done my share of downhill skiing. I won't bore everybody with the details as to why I refuse to go downhill skiing anymore, but someday I'll tell you all the story.
Well, someday I'd be interested to hear it. we'll share our skiing adventures, Kay. That would be interesting.
Yeah, there you go. Boy, I tell you what, there's some hair-raising ones, too.
I agree. We'd probably have a good time sharing our stories.
Well, that's really neat. I love asking people this question because, you know, sometimes they'll just tell you about your hobbies, or sometimes you'll find out that they've been skydiving, scuba diving, and doing whatever. And it's always neat to find that, you know, blind people are so into so many different things. And that's why I asked the question. So, well, Chip, I'm going to turn it over to you again.
All right. So, Carol, now, I know that you mentioned a little bit about, of course, your eye condition, and you also told us that you also have a moderate hearing loss, I guess, and along with some of the other physical disabilities that you have. So is there any technology that you use that helps you to meet those challenges physically? With your eye condition or hearing loss or other physical disabilities?
Well, of course, like most people, I use a screen reader. But I have a lymphatic pump, which is very difficult to use. But recently, they developed an app for the iPhone that allows you to control your pump through the app. So that is a help. Yeah, I guess that's one of the biggest things.
Mm-hmm. So you use the iPhone for various things, like a lot of us do. I really think that the iPhone is one of those things that has happened and has been absolutely, it would have to be my favorite thing because there is so much that you can do with it.
I agree. And I'm on my computer now, but I do a lot of Zoom meetings on my phone. I do a lot on my phone, like you said. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So also, Carol, you mentioned that you're on the board at the service club. What other type of things that are you involved in that occupy your time?
Well, that and I'm on some Patriot boards on Telegram. That takes up a lot of my time, and a lot of things I do now online. The Lipedema Tribe community that I'm in, trying to help people who are newly diagnosed with this genetic fat, lymphatic, and connective tissue disorder that I have that wasn't diagnosed in me until late stage. But we're trying to help other women who get a diagnosis and haven't had help. And it's a lot to deal with psychologically as well as physically. So I'm involved in that tribe community. And we also do exercise together up to 5 days a week. And I also do some of the ACB community events. And there again, more exercise. I do several days a week of exercise with them. Kind of fell through for me to go to the Y anymore. So it's been a godsend to keep me moving to be able to do some of that over Zoom or on the phone here at home.
Well, that sounds like all that keeps you pretty busy.
It does.
Yeah. Were you ever a guide dog user?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I've actually been arthritic since I was a teenager. I think a guide dog might have moved too fast for me. I know they do have some adaptations, but I know I never did go that route.
Okay. Carol, do you have any encouraging words that you would like to share with our listeners, whether someone that's listening may be newly blind, or maybe they've been blind for a long time but never seem to have been able to accept their blindness? I know your time with RSB, you've ran into a lot of people that were newly blind and or been blind for a long time that you recognize were still struggling with their blindness. Do you have any words of encouragement that you would like to share?
Well, it's easy to get consumed with it sometimes, but knowing that blindness is a part of who you are, but not all of who you are, and that you can develop using your other senses and identifying new strengths. A lot of times our adversity helps us to become stronger, and, not denying, your feelings about it. You have to walk through that grieving process in order to kind of get to the other side, to be able to be more functional with it, and always be looking for different ways of doing things. As a rehab teacher, I was always trying to find alternative methods for people to accomplish different tasks. And sometimes they were new tasks, things that I'd never seen before, they'd never seen before. And we'd try to figure out different ways to address the problem. So having an open mind, I would say, just being willing to explore possibilities and try things and be willing to fail, because sometimes you have to fail to find the right thing that works for you.
Yeah. Okay.
And for me, my main source is my faith in God and finding my strength in Him, because I don't know how you get along in this world, especially with disabilities of any kind, without being able to lean on Him.
Amen. I agree with you there. One last question. I want to go back to your time with RSB. I'm sure that you were, able to establish some really great working relationships with people that worked out of the same office. Do you stay in contact with those folks, or do you stay in contact with what's going on with the department and where things are at? Are things any different? So do you stay on top of what's going on with RSB, or
to a little bit of a degree, not like I once did. I still talk to one of the rehab teachers over there in my office, but a lot of people have retired that I worked with. And for many years, they always invited us back for the Christmas parties. And then I went to a number of people's retirement parties. So that kind of kept me more close contact with people. But the last couple of the years with the pandemic and everything, they quit inviting retirees back to the parties and things. And so I haven't been as in touch the last couple of years.
Okay. All right. Well, Carol, I want to thank you so much for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or call me, Kay Momquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know, you might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. So until then, stay well, stay safe, and always remember to be kind to one another. Catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.